I'm now joined by Anthony Flynn. I'm delighted to be speaking to him this morning from the Inner City Helping Homeless. Hi, Anthony.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Not so bad.
Now, I suppose you're probably out helping the homeless out doing the soup runs last night, were you?
Well, I wasn't, but we had four teams on the street last night. So we'd have our outreach support teams, which would be walking the streets of Dublin, and then we'd have a mobile unit then that would be driving to the outskirts of Dublin, or Dublin, or the areas that then wouldn't be accessible by foot for our other team. So last night we would have engaged with 168 of sleepers on the streets of Dublin.
Oh, wow. So it's going up and up and up, because the article that we'd seen, it was that it was a rise of 38% since January, and it just seems to be rising all the time.
Yeah, well, the highest ever recorded number this year so far was last week, where we recorded 189 of sleepers. So we can see from week to week that the rise is consistent. You know, on average nights, there would be a differential of about 20 individuals, and that may be because of beds either being accessible or non-accessible. But since January, you know, we did come out, and I remember I was on your own show last year talking about a decrease, you know, and it's not very often you would hear me coming out and stating that there's a decrease, or even commending you know, the Dublin Region Homeless Executive or the Minister for such a decrease. But we saw one of the biggest decreases in rough sleepers in the history, particularly in the last 5 years that I've been involved in Inner City Health Homeless, where we actually saw 70 rough sleepers on the street between December and January. And that has continued to rise then from January through February and right on through the year. So, you know, the highest peak we've seen is a 38% increase in those as presented. Now, numbers do fluctuate, and, you know, seasonally, you know, we'd be very surprised as to why numbers would fluctuate, but they do, and we see clear patterns year on year in regard to summer, winter and autumn. A lot of it is down to bed accessibility. But again, it is a case of the numbers are back on the rise, and we warned the Minister for the last couple of months in regard to those numbers rising, and the Minister doesn't seem to be taking heed of this whatsoever. And,
yes,
you know, we're forecasting that we'll have over 250 people that will sleep rough on the streets of Dublin before Christmas.
Well, really something has to be done, and something has to be done now, because it's no point in waiting till Christmas, but till the really, really cold weather. I mean, it was icy cold there 2 nights ago. You know, if we get the winter we had last year, you know, what's going to happen to these people?
We can see a drop in temperature at night time, particularly at night time and into the early hours of the morning, and that's year on year as well. You know, the Minister has had a number of recommendations put in place, particularly a number of recommendations put in place from my office in regard to how to stem the flow of people that are accessing emergency accommodation or trying to seek emergency accommodation at night time. The Minister has just failed to respond to that. You know, he has relaunched and rebranded his Housing Force Initiative, which you know, I was only last week in England, you know, having a look at their model and how they implement that, and that's a very, very good model in Europe, right through, but we don't seem to be implementing that correctly in Ireland. You know, we spent over the last 4 years, we've only engaged with 633 tenancies from those individuals that are sleeping rough over the last 4 years. It's, you know, it's a system that can work and will work, but we're spending an awful lot of money to organisations, particularly in Dublin. You know, we spent over €1 million in Dublin for 180 people last year, and, you know, to support the tenancies that we claim to hear are being put in place, I don't believe are being put in place.
Yes.
You know, we're spending a lot of money on homeless services. The cost of homeless services is going up year on year. And we don't seem to see a result-based performance payment on the reduction of numbers. What we seem to see is, you know, we keep throwing money at the problem all the time.
Yes.
And there's nothing actually happening.
There's no proper strategy in place, really.
No.
You know, as you say, just throwing money at it. Now, so would you not be involved in advising on an advisory capacity? Do they not get people like yourselves who are working with the homeless day to day to advise them on this, you know, this housing plan that has come into effect just the other day?
Well, the Minister has just been put into his position over a year now. It's a little over a year since he's put into his position, but in his first 2 to 3 months in office, you know, we met with the Minister on a regular basis in regard to homelessness and homeless services, and particularly rough sleeping and family homelessness. You know, and those meetings were continuous, and I did believe at some stage that the Minister, you know, was going to change homeless services. He was very determined at the time that you know, he was going to impact in some way and make change. And the minister is disengaged with the groups that are working on the ground. You know, we see the soup kitchens that are out there setting up their tables. You know, we're more of an outreach support services. We're actually trying to engage with the client on the ground and ensuring that they get a bed or they get referral for case management or their needs assessed in regard to, you know, the wraparound support services. But the fact of the matter is that the minister is not listening to what's going on down here anymore. You know, we have seen in 7 years, five ministers pass through the Department of Housing. And what I say is that those ministers are being very, very badly advised. You know, we haven't seen a change in personnel in the Department of Housing, but we have seen a continuous change in minister after minister over the last number of years. And, you know, the fact is, my opinion would be that, you know, that he and his predecessors have been very badly advised in regard to housing strategy and homeless strategy. You know, it's not very... It is very simple, you know, to take these people in. You know, I believe that there are people that are entrenched on the ground that don't want to come in, but they need intense case management and they need intense support services wrapped around them. You know, a lot of the issues around them, Father Peter McFerry has agreed, or we agree with him on this, is that there's a serious issue in regard to substance abuse within the hospital environment. And that brings people back out onto the streets. And a lot of people feel safer on the streets than they do in many of these hospital environments.
They've got themselves into this situation by no fault of their own, and then they find themselves in these hostels where, it, as you say, it's a bad environment with drugs and all of that sort of thing that they have to deal with.
What we need to be looking at is the decriminalisation of drugs, and you know, and have an environment where people are not being led up to Mountjoy Prison. You know, there's no waiting list for Mountjoy Prison, but there is a big waiting list for access to facilities such as drug rehabilitation, and somebody only said that we had a play over the last 2 days. You know, so you know, when we do find somebody that is using substance, we seem the answer is to lock them up. You know, and it's not really what we need to do is have the proper wraparound support services for people that are sleeping rough, people that are accessing hospital facilities. You know, we've just about now, if I believe the figures will be released for last month today, we've up to 4,000 children sleeping, or 4,000 children sleeping in hotels and B&Bs around the country. We will rise over the 10,000 homeless mark if those figures are released today, I believe. You know, we're not seeing, it's an indictment on government to see what's happening in regard to social housing and the responsibility on those individuals to provide that housing. You know, and look, the minister says the book stops with him, but what we don't seem to see is the minister responding. He's relaunching programmes that have already been launched. I can see 7 failed successive policies that he's put in place and that haven't worked in regard to social and affordable housing. So, you know, we saw a motion of no confidence in him this week, that he won the motion in the Dáil. But it really is a serious, serious situation where the minister needs to come back to the table and actually be listening to what's going on the ground. You know, he's over-reliant on the private market and the private sector in order for him, you know, to build housing. But that doesn't sort out the social problem or the problem that we have around social housing. You know, he's continuously playing the paying the housing assistance payment to landlords, which is driving up the price of rent for the private market right across the board by doing what he's doing. So we're not seeing solutions. And, you know, myself as a person and the organisation, you know, we're solution-based. We want to put these solutions into action. You know, we want to see the minister try and take up on some of these, but he just doesn't seem willing to do so, you know. And I suppose we've seen just over a year of this now, and we wonder how long more can we go on before this changes, or how long more can we go on before the minister decides that somebody else is going to have to come in to do the job that he can't do.
Yeah, and why do you think they're so reluctant? Like, why is it taking them so long to build the houses that are required?
Well, what we have is a far-right policy in regard to social housing. We haven't had a proportionate or systemic build project in regard to social housing for 20 or 30 years, particularly in Dublin. You know, we're too reliant on the voluntary housing bodies, and that goes back to the crash and Europe. And Pascal O'Donoghue, who's the finance minister, doesn't want to have to take loans onto his loan book from Europe in order to build social housing. So what the minister is doing is he's getting the voluntary housing bodies to do that on his behalf, and those voluntary housing bodies build. But these are still not social or affordable homes. There hasn't been one affordable home built in the Dublin region over the last 2 to 3 years. The minister promised that there would be. You know, we have this locked out generation, people that can't get in to buy housing, people that will never be able to afford a house.
I know, people who are working full time and can't afford, and then they're actually paying more in rent than they would
to
buy their own.
Than they would in mortgage.
Yeah.
And these people will continue to do so for a number of years, because we're not in a position at the moment where the minister has put any kind of policy in place to affect that. So what you need to be doing is earning over €70,000 a year within your home structure in order to try and even look at getting a mortgage for €320,000. And realistically, you know, the minister is living in cuckoo land, in my opinion, because he says that a social or an affordable home is €320,000 to €350,000. For somebody that might be earning €25,000 to €32,000 a year, that doesn't make sense whatsoever.
Yeah. And when you have to get the 10% together for that, it'll take forever.
And how can those individuals do that when they're already paying rent at the moment?
Yes.
You know, it's just unsustainable. Mm. So my belief is that the minister needs to go back to the drawing board, particularly in regard to mortgage drawdowns. You know, we've seen, as I said, 7 failed successive plans from the minister in regard to, you know, Rebuild Ireland. Rebuild Ireland has failed. You know, he's turned that into the 2040 plan. Now at the moment, you know, some of us won't be around in 2040. And a lot of us won't be able to. A lot of us can't wait that long to get mortgages. So it is a case where what we've seen is a big shift to far right and the far right politics of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and that's not helping those individuals that may require. You know, they have no aspiration to build social housing, as far as I'm concerned, and it'll take them an awful long time to get houses on the ground with all the regulation and all the red tape that they have in place.
Yeah, well, to me it seems, it's going back. It's kind of like the Marie Antoinette. I know she never said this, but it's like the let them eat cake. It's like, you know, they don't understand. It's like they're on a higher echelon than the rest of us, trying to get ourselves a home, and they haven't come down from their cloud to see what's going on. I mean, even Eileen Gleeson's comments, I feel, how could she be, head in charge of the DRHE, and the comments are devoid of humanity. She is not empathic in any way. She's trying to say that anybody who is homeless has bad behaviour. Don't live like us. That is ridiculous. People are being made homeless because landlords are overcharging on their rent, overnight doubling their rent. They can't get them the any of those HAP or any of the rent allowance schemes. They just don't cut the mustard.
We have a system that lacks empathy and compassion in regard to homeless services.
Yes.
And what we do is, when somebody does become homeless, we treat everybody in the system with the one brush. Our policy here in our city health office is to deal with each case by case as it comes across. You know, we need to find out how this person became homeless, what we can do to get them back into sustainable, payments on mortgages or payments on rent. You know, only 2 days ago, I had a mother of 3 children that was evicted through the private rental process. And what we're seeing is landlords doing this right across the country at the moment in order to put up the rents, because they know the rental value is increasing month on month. You know,
but how come they can't come in at this stage and put a cap, say enough is enough, you can't charge over this?
The rent pressure zones are in place. Mm. This is another failed policy from the minister, where the rent pressure zones are put in place a number of months ago, and what we haven't got is anybody to police those rent pressure zones. So the landlords are only supposed to put up the rent by 4% over a certain period of time. And what the landlords are doing is they're ignoring that rule altogether, because there's nobody there to actually police that rule and enforce any kind of legislation on the landlords when they do. You know, we have case after case that are arriving into our offices here, where landlords are evicting people and saying that they're getting renovations done to the house. They might paint a room and they move somebody else in the next month, and the rent has gone up by €300 or €400 over that month. And these are people that are in these apartments maybe for 5, 8, 10 years. But because there's a market there where they can increase rent by bringing somebody else or a new person into that rental facility, is the case where it's being done blatantly and it's being ignored. And you know, unless the minister tightens up those regulations, it's going to continue to be done, and we're in a situation where more people are continuing to be homeless. You know, the demographic of homeless people out there now has totally changed. We're not talking about somebody sleeping in a sleeping bag, somebody that may have an issue in regard to alcohol or substance. There's a wide range of people that are now homeless. You know, we hear of army officers that are sleeping in their cars, guards that are sleeping in their cars. We hear of, we had a painter and decorator sleeping in a sleeping bag on the floor in Stortree Garda Station a couple of weeks ago. You know, so we've children. Children are the new face of homeless. Children will now outweigh adults very, very shortly in regard to the number of people that are in homeless services. You know, and we don't seem to have, you know, enough push or drive to get out. And, you know, one thing that I will encourage anyone that's listening, you know, October 3rd is a major day in regard to Raise the Roof, the Raise the Roof campaign. There's a bill being passed in the Dáil. It's a cross-party bill. You know, one of the issues around that was the stop evictions, you know, and stem the flow of people that are actually entering homelessness. You know, but I do think on the day, you know, if people can get out, hashtag raise the roof, you know, they can get out and join us on that day and send a clear message back to Dublin. What we need is the likes of the Watermeter protests, you know, and we saw people come out in force in order to tell the government, look, we're not happy with this and we're not going to continue with this. The problem is the homeless doesn't affect everybody. You know, the water bills did. So a lot of people are not joining that kind of campaign, and we do need to get people out there to join the campaign in order to send that message to them and to tell them that we're no longer going to accept homelessness.
Well, this is it. I think, in a way, when you say it doesn't affect everybody, people have to see, as you said, I mean, there are older people who've retired, may have lost their wife or husband, and next of all, they're out of their house because they may have got depressed or they didn't pay, you know, or they've lost their job at the end of their life, made redundant, and next of all, they're on the streets. It's just becoming that a lot of families and people are touched by
it. It's the biggest social crisis that we have seen. You know, it's the biggest social crisis that hit us in many, many years is homelessness. And what we need to do is face up to that and react to that in a way, you know. And let's look at the European or the Finnish model in regard to housing force, you know, and accommodating people. You know, what we're doing is we're spending more and more time filling the pockets of bankers and filling the pockets of landlords. And we're spending less time actually caring about the social need of the people that live within our society, you know. And that needs to change. And the only way that can change is if we change it, you know. And there's many, many people out there with voices that need to be heard. You know, we hear of a nurse not too long ago at our last march, where a nurse you know, was living basically to pay, you know, she was working basically to pay her mortgage month on month, or her full wages were going to pay her mortgage you know, because she had difficulties with her own life. So we've many of those stories out there that people actually need to realise, well, hang on a second, this is a problem now. You know, it's not just an issue of people that are sleeping on the streets because they choose to sleep on the streets. People are sleeping on the streets now because they're being forced to sleep on the streets. You know, we've had an influx of people now that are being referred to Garda stations at night time because there's nowhere to accommodate them. We have children sleeping in Garda stations at night time now as well. So, you know, this is a drastic, drastic problem that needs to change.
It definitely does. One thing I was just saying, you were saying about the money that they borrowed. Why can't they borrow? They borrowed to bail out the banks, and we all had to pay that back. How come they can't borrow to build these houses?
Well, because they borrow to bail out the banks, we have a problem where we have to keep our GDP within a certain parameter. You know, our loan books have to be kept within a percentage. And, you know, what I will say is that Pascal Donoghue is doing a great job at doing that, you know, and making sure that we repay. But let's be honest about it. It's not Pascal Donoghue that's paying that back. It's us people. You know, we've seen universal social charges. We've seen stealth taxes after taxes. You know, we've seen increases in tax right across the board over the last number of years. So, you know, they don't want to draw that money down. You know, I was in Europe, you know, I think it was about 2 years ago, and I spoke with the European Central Bank, and we spoke to the European Commissioner on Homelessness as well. And they're more than willing to lend to Ireland. They're more willing to lend to Ireland at a very, very flat rate in order for them to build. But what we don't want, what Ireland doesn't want to do, or what the ministerial entourage doesn't want to do, is actually borrow or take loans down that will affect our market rates in any way, shape or form, or will distill those market rates in any way, shape or form, which is absolutely ridiculous. You know, we should be in a situation where we should be drawing this money down. It is available to us, it's available to the government to take directly down and let the social, let the local council build. This is the major problem, that the social housing element is not being built because the councils are not allowed to build. We have a situation where Doughty Doolan, who's the Housing SPC Chair, has stated time after time that he cannot get the funds from department in order to build the projects that they're looking to build. Department now, the Minister has threatened to take the powers away from the department in order to build projects because they're not using them. Councils are stating that they're not getting the funds to do that building.
Yes.
So, we fingers being pointed at one another. Now, I tend to believe the council that they're in a position where they can't get the money to build, or the procurement process and the red tape around all this building is taking up to 4 years or 5 years in order to get a project off the ground. That it's taken way too long. We should be in a position where if we find the land banks and the development opportunities in order to build, we should be looking at building within 6 to 12 months of that project being initiated. But, you know, most projects are taking up to 5 years now to get off the ground. And a lot of the complexes that are being sold out now are being sold out through public-private partnerships. And we're losing an awful lot of land. They're losing an awful lot of property through those public-private partnerships as well. And again, public-private partnerships are a way for the government not to have to take money down on loan books. You know, the public-private partnership pays for the development to be done. So what we have is chaos, a major, major mess right across Dublin, yes, right across the country. Mm-hmm. And we don't seem to have anybody with the head on their shoulders to actually lead us out of this mess that's in place now at the moment. We've a lot of suggestions. We've a lot of good people working in the sector and that have made lots of you know, fairly decent recommendations. Mm-hmm. Owen O'Brien, Mel Reynolds, the likes of those, you know, Lough and Soar and stuff like that have made great recommendations in regard to housing and build and, you know, advice for the government in order to move forward. But the fact is, they're just not listening.
And can I ask you, Anthony, we're running out of time, but can I just ask you, the people who are sleeping rough now, on a temporary measure, could they not be put into this bed and breakfast or hotel arrangement that other families or people are being put into,
The thing is that there's two sides to that, is that many of those individuals do have complex needs, do have complex
I understand that, you know, yes.
But there are ways in which we can deal with this, and we can deal with this, you know, in a enormity. We can take those individuals in and have wraparound support services, you know, on-site support within complexes or centres. We could buy a building tomorrow. We could open up. We could have a nurse. We could have a psychiatrist. We could have rehabilitation facilities within those, you know, and we could turn that around in a very, very short period if we wanted to. The political will and the want needs to be there in order to get these people off the streets, number one, and to house those people that are in hotels and B&Bs, number two. We haven't got that political will. There is will from services. There is will from advocacy ends of things, but there's not will from government, in my opinion, in order to tackle that crisis. And as I said earlier on, we're going to end up with 250 people on our streets. We are going to end up with deaths on our streets if we don't tackle the crisis head on. But again, the minister doesn't seem to want to do this.
I know. And when you see the likes of, you know, the comments from Eileen Gleeson, who's supposed to be managing all of this, I just feel if that's the way they're thinking, how are we supposed to get anywhere exactly? Now, can I ask you another thing just before we go? I should be playing promos. I'm being waved at here. But I just want to ask you another thing. The Inner City Helping Homeless, you were one of the co-founders. How do you get your funding?
Well, we're 100% funded by voluntary contributions, donations from the public and partners that we have in the corporate sector. So we are a voluntary-led body. We have an admin person here that's paid. Nobody else within the organisation. We have 180 volunteers right the way through the organisation, and nobody gets paid from that pool of people. You know.
So how can people then get involved or get in touch with you or become a volunteer?
You can volunteer or you can donate at ICHH.ie. And everything is on the website there. So the links to donate, the links to volunteer are all there, and you can fill them out online.
Great.
And send them back to us, and somebody will get back in touch with you.
Lovely. Okay. Well, all get out on the 3rd of October for that, and hopefully we get somewhere with this. Thanks so much, Anthony, for talking
to
me today.
Much.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.